Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting broadcast from the Vinnie Eastwood Show, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, so if you want to go to the homepage and make a donation or sign up to a regular subscription, either through the PayPal or through the Kiwi Bank account. And bear in mind, those who have already subscribed, there was a PayPal account change about a couple of months ago, so if you want to, please check your account, see if it's going into the old Guerrilla Media 911 Gmail or the new Guerrilla Media 77 Gmail PayPal accounts. That would be really nice, because there's a lot of people who are still signed up who are donating into the old account, which I cannot touch. I can, on the other hand, refund donations through that, so please contact me through the homepage. Other than that, today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest. His name is Andrew Bartzis. Welcome to the program, Andrew.
Thank you, Vinny. How are you doing today?
Yeah, well, somewhat fabulous is my standard response, mate. I would like to know just a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
For people that have never heard of me before, I'm called the Galactic Historian. I'm a regular person also, but my name is Andrew Bartzis. When I was 9 years old, I had an event happen where I was at a baseball stadium, and there was a bottom of the ninth inning. It was a tied score, and when our team hit a home run, the stadium went wild, just cheering and high frequency and high energy. And at that moment, there was a stream of information that came inside me, and it was everyone in the stadium, everyone within miles of the stadium, 80,000 plus people, their entire historical record of who they've been in the past, present, and future came into my little 9-year-old head. And there was this wave of wisdom and knowingness that came with that actual wave of information. And it was very hard to take in. And for about 2 weeks, I was very secluded. My parents asked what was going on, but they had a traditional Greek Orthodox upbringing, so they didn't understand what was going on to me. I'd already challenged them paranormally and psychically, even when I was a young child, 3 and 4 years old, reading material, absorbing books instantly and being able to answer things on it. And after that event, I had a situation where I had migraine headaches and the doctors couldn't identify what it was. And that was from the amount of information that I was filtering literally from wherever I would walk. Every person I ever passed in the street, every person that I've ever seen within a few hundred feet of me, I've downloaded their Akashic record. And I've traveled all over the world. And that's what it's like being in my life until I turned this skill to be professional. And that professional skill was reading people's past, present, and future lives until I came into an understanding of what this term galactic historian was that came into my mind at 9 years old. It was to look at our entire history of our species with the knowledge that our species has amnesia, and there are trigger points that have been abused throughout the centuries to lead us into false understandings of what is false history. And when I was in school, I remember being taught stuff that I had learned in the Akashic Record that were totally different perspectives. And I was frustrated as a kid until I began to understand we live in a world that is a facade. There is a programmed reality that is there, and that reality can be called a hologram. And each individual human being has a personal hologram that's called spiritual sovereignty, and that determines how much 100% free will you ascertain, have, and express. We live in a world that there's these spiritual agreements that people are in unawareness of that makes that 100% 6% or 5%, because over hundreds of lifetimes, they've had hundreds of citizenships to different governments that have given away their power to beings that have the ability to use science and spirituality mixed to alter timelines or dimensions based off of your signature from 400 years ago. And as I began to learn more and more about our history, about our culture, about our taboos, how just broken our sacred masculine and feminine was, and seeing a truer expression of all of those different things, I began to see who's controlling our world. Having the sight to literally look into any place, any time as an individual person, and not to be detected when I was doing that. That's what makes me so unique and so rare. I do this consciously. I'm not in a trance. I'm not someone else. I'm not channeling. I am me in the individual flow of the infinite record. And whether there's nobody listening to me or a live audience of 6 or 7 million, which I've done shows, it expands the potential. And that potential is everything that's in the infinite that I can translate into these 26 English letters.
Well, could you define that and elaborate on it, please?
Let's look at an example. It's called timeline genocide. This is something I began describing in the Galactic Historian shows I did back in June last year with Lance White, where I took the entire 54 million year history of our species and explained it from the beginning to the end so that people began to understand it is not a single timeline that we're living in, but we are in four separate simultaneously existing paradoxes. Quite literally, through this term timeline genocide, the original species that inhabited Earth was sharing their DNA with other planets, other galaxies, and other universes. DNA was the basis of experience in this universe. If we look at our modern science, we discover that DNA is 80% memory. Well, whose memories are those? Well, DNA is 80% memory. The other 20% is called lineage programs, things that makes a silversmith or a radio host or a book writer. And those are the particular talents a light body brings into an experience. These experiences have attachments, and those attachments become parts of these facade realities, where the facade realities will alter the individual's expression so that they're not truly following their free will, but they're following a path defined by others who have farsight thousands of years in the future, and they are carrot and sticking for you to plan your lives their way. And that's the facade reality we live in four separate paradoxes. I know this is hard for people to understand, but we created this timeline genocide. It came here to Earth, where literally the original species that was here was erased. There were no ancestors on the planet, no first species, no primordial soup. And that's from the species that had time travel technology to enter our social agreement of time. And this was the first time it had ever been done in any of the 17 other universes. And as soon as we were erased, all the DNA we had shared that was the foundation for DNA skin suit experiences that people used human DNA, all of those people lost their experience and their experience, so on, until it spread out. And the universal beings came together and had a creational event to put the experiences back together. But there were individual powerful beings here on Earth who knew that this uncreational event was purposely triggered, and they triggered a second one and a third one and a fourth one spread throughout our human history to keep us in an enslavement program, because they see our DNA as the DNA Walmart, where they can feed the DNA to the universe and determine the way the universe is going to be advanced in experiences. They are basically being the monopoly of the great experiences. Our DNA is vastly different than the rest of the species in the universe. As much as 70% of the species in this galaxy alone only experience three things on three experiential levels: their physical body, their sensual body, and their sexual body. And sometimes they have a fourth, which is an advanced psychic body separate of technology. We as human beings here on Earth have 63 layers of experience here. So every time I smoke a cigarette or eat a piece of chocolate, my body and spirit body experience it 63 different ways. That's how much information hounds we are on this world.
Hmm. Now, you're throwing out a lot of numbers here, like experiencing it in 63 different ways or 17 different universes. Could you actually explain what the names are of these 17 different universes to define what they are?
They don't actually have names as much as they are a frequency and a vibration of free will or non-free will or a mix thereof. Each is a macro or a micro experience. Here, we are the 17th universe in this creational spiral. And there are other creational spirals separate of us. And we are in an infinite creation little spiral above us and below us. And that is what general human awakening is about, is understanding the macro and micro spirals. You know, there are cells within inside us that have whole universes in them. So you see what I'm saying? They're just a range of frequency from the seven colors of experience. Red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, violet. That's what this universe is, a seven-color experience. So beings come here for the seven colors. And here on Earth, we have nine experiential bodies. And that nine experiential bodies and the seven colors gives you the 63 layers of experience, where other beings just experienced infrared or just experienced blue or just experienced an ultraviolet expression. And those would be a fifth degree or fifth density being who no longer needs a physical body, but just a galactic roaming citizen or sentience.
Well, and do these do they have consciousness? Are they self-aware?
They are fully self-aware. Most of these beings ended their contracts with another planet because they're ancient. They already discovered the secrets to their own DNA, which is their DNA is the interface with any planetary consciousness. That's the fundamental rules of this universe. It's the seven-color expression. So when you understand a planet on its seven-color expression, your DNA matches that of the planetary resonance, and you can end your spiritual contracts with that and then become what's called a galactic roaming citizen. You have understood the fundamentals of nature separate of your culture. It doesn't matter. That means you can leave your planet and just be an energy body floating through space, or you can manifest literally a vessel where you go through a creational process, whether it's created of stone, of ice, of water, or of gas. It doesn't matter. It's your method of belief system that allows you to travel from a planet A to solar system B to galaxy C. Mm-hmm. It's just belief.
So there's no physical evidence of anything that you're saying, basically, and it's all sort of like up in the air.
I've been asked that question many, 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 many times. We are a species with amnesia, so how do you prove anything to a species with amnesia? The same thing if you look at the Super Soldier Project. There's not a single admission of it amongst the government, but that doesn't mean it isn't real. It's the social consciousness that accepts its own frequency of the puzzle of lies and truth and the truth and interwoven lies. And that's the hardest part about the galactic historians, because there are those who are going to say, where is the physical proof? Where is the physical proof? Our history has been rewritten by the victors and conquerors thousands of times. So what I've done is taken the times to expose those particular places where the most amount of influence is done, so that people can look for themselves at where the biggest taking of our human freedoms as a soul or as an individual were taken. You know, we look at the Roman Empire when it split between Byzantium and the main cities in Rome. Well, most people don't realize it was actually the main cities in Rome that were encouraging the Templars to go there, but you can go back in history and look at it. But the history books make it seem like everything was in Byzantium when it wasn't. That's where the post system started. That's where all of the dark rituals that spread out the system of domination control, which is what I identify as the cabal, Illuminati, pyramid, whatever you want to call it. And the biggest lie of all is there's not one eye at the top. There's thousands of eyes, and they're all black and blue from fighting each other for tens of thousands of years. Mm-hmm. In that tens of thousands of years, lots of truth has leaked through and lots of lies have leaked through. And for one to go through it, one must have a reference that is a neutral perspective. And that is what the Akashic Record is. It is the view of your experience in this life from the planet's perspective. And that's the stream of information I go through. So how does one prove that I'm in that stream? And that is through the voice and flow and through I am, through the information, whether it heals or doesn't heal, whether it exposes or doesn't expose. It does something to relay a newer layer of truth to the amnesiacs that we are.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to a number of people who've got these kind of views and opinions, abilities, etc. And one thing that really strikes me about them all is that they all seem to admit that there's no physical evidence for these things that they're doing. However, they often have these little stories of synchronicity and things of that nature, which for them are true confirmation of what they're seeing and what they're hearing.
Oh, absolutely. I live a life of synchronicities. And in fact, I look for them, and I've learned to become very adept in seeing people that have all sorts of synchronistic energies around them, and then meeting them at opportune times with the same amount of synchronistic energy and watch absolute magic appear. Well, that's our birthright as a species, is to watch this magic appear by people coming together in their own sovereign expression that amplifies the sovereign energy expressions of everyone else.
Care to share a couple of them experiences?
Mount Shasta last year, I was giving a speech in front of a fire, and the fire lit up really, really, really high right as I was saying a series of words. And an owl hooted in the background, and as I stood up, there was this big glow around everyone, and everyone noticed that right away. Mm-hmm. Other synchronicities, meeting people at the exact right moment in time before they do something very different in their life. Mm-hmm. Hearing distant gunshots when I'm making a decision not to do something and confirming that. All sorts of things that could defy oneself, going between two timelines, seeing the news media, CNN, which on one timeline, which is literally another timeline of perception, where CNN is the number one news media, and it's the ABC and NBC are the bottom ranked cable news medias, and to see the different perspective based off the two, and then watch literally how one translates from one timeline to another, because they're doing trial balloons in our dream worlds. I can view the dream worlds of human beings all over the world without violating their sovereignty, simply because I'm from the perspective of the Akashic record. And I'm not the only one that can do this. There are others out there. And in fact, it's the birthright of everyone to be able to perceive this information, because your DNA skin suit technology.
Could you define I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you define Akashic? If it's Akashic records, I mean, I know what records are. You know, you're playing, music comes out, but...
Okay, the Akashic record, think of the molten core of a planet, and that's the heart and soul of a planet. And as that molten core gets a crust around it and it begins to expand and accept more and more densities from other parts of the solar system, layers of crystal grow and bigger layers of crystal grow. And those are the foundations of the records of the planet, what the planet is experiencing at that moment. And that is the Akashic record. And then after the planet gets more and more older, it'll invite life to come and live on it, whether it's moths and bugs or sentient beings. The older Akashic records are at the surface and the younger ones are at the base. So there's a network of crystals spread throughout the igneous rock all over the planet. And that it creates an omnidirectional field or aura of a planet. When one looks at to the North Pole, you see the Aurora Borealis. That is an example of Earth's aura interacting with the solar system or the sun. Our dream world, when it interacts with the clouds or the weather layers, is the example of the energy of Earth interacting with the sentience. Our weather is directly related to us as a human species.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the Akashic record is the planet's individual relation, because it is holding space for you, a being of photonic light energy who has come here to have a shared reality experience with the planet and anyone you have contracted here for experience.
Mm-hmm.
Example, your
wife.
How
are these contracts done?
These contracts are done in your astral world, where you look for people who are soul family members, people you've had experiences with in other lifetimes or on other planets or in other universes. And they'll be looking for a specific set of experiences. One may be, see, I'm here to be a teacher this time, so I'm going to be a third grade teacher. And to do that, I may need a high school teacher who really shows me what teaching is. Or if you're going to be a professional wrestler at a young age, you're going to be exposed to professional wrestling, and that's going to be your special talent, or a healer or a doctor. And those are your themes that you create. And then we as souls realize that our world is in domination and control, and we don't always get what we want. And there's a big roll of the dice when you come through the forgetting of the birth canal. And that's where a concept called ancestral karma makes most people's lives go awry, because debt of ancestral negative concepts have been passed on to future generations. And this is also reminiscent of the timeline genocide I spoke to you of before, where systems were brought to this planet to control the timeline pollution, such as ancestral karma, passing debt onto others. That's why our passports, our IDs, and our bonds are created on our soul. It's so they on our human body, calling us commerce, so they can do the DNA trade with us off world, and our belief system understands it. So it all comes back to the belief system of the individual. So an individual soul comes in with a light body belief system. That light body belief system creates a series of contracts with the planet, which is it will hold space and make sure there's a synchronistic link to other soul family members. And then there's the other system, which is the system of domination and control that created a false grid of Masonic brick and mortar buildings and cities and roadways to make there appear to be a second system of energy ley lines on Earth to confuse human beings. And so those that live in the cities over many hundreds of generations have now attached themselves to the experience of the city, which is haunted by beings who can't pass over and recreate their experiences, but are stuck in what's called a reincarnation grid or an ancestral debt reincarnation grid, where they end up being sex slaves, they end up being government personalities, they end up being the worst scumbaggery or douchebaggery people, personalities of our society. And our society is built as a machine, like the Vatican is a machine of entropy and destruction of minds, so that they can create a mass volume of negative people to oversee the Vatican sex industry, which it does, and it oversees their drug industry. The same thing in the CIA. You need bad people to run those things, and those bad people are easily controlled by some of the most simple neurolinguistic programming, or are working basically off of their initial debt programming.
Mm. Go on.
Okay. Well, what area would you like me to go on to? I mean, you're at a point where I can go specifics into concepts. What would you like to know?
Well, I've still haven't heard what the 17 different universes are, or the 63 levels of experience. You know, if you're going to come up with a number, I'd like to explain what each and every
one
of those.
Well, again, I
know that they don't have names, but of course they must have frequencies. Characteristics. Okay.
Free will or non-free will. All right, here's an example. There is another universe, and we'll look at letters of music. It would be the A note frequency. And that A note frequency determines the amount of colors that it has in it. So it's a six color.
When you say it would be, are you guessing or do you know?
No. I'm saying for this example, I'm trying to actually use an example from an actual universe, and I'm collating all the data for your query right here and putting it together.
We'll continue. Yeah.
Okay, so that experience of that universe is divided into free-willed and non-free-willed. So there's partitions of the universe that are non-free-willed and not partitions of it are free-willed. And then there are different galaxies that are part free-will and non-free-will, or a complete free-for-all. You can be non-free-willed and free-willed in the same place and never interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a way of mass experiential creation where everything can cross over and not affect everything else. Our experience over here is 100% free will universe on 100% free will planets, and everything can cross over, and not even the universal beings have free will to stop the free will of another being if they stand in their sovereign power. So this is what's called a sovereign power universe. It's the next stage of expression before the 18th universe is created. Each universe is a different level of expression so that a soul can age and grow in density and power until it is ready to say, I'm ready to become my own galaxy, my own universe, my own planet, my own next expression, because I've lived trillions of experiences over billions of spans of light years. So the 17 universes, as you're trying to find, is the incarnational of a process from the micro being to the macro being. It is literally all of the experiences. Whether you stay in this
spiral or any other spiral. There isn't actually 17 universes. There's only one universe with 17 different frequencies and colors, etc., holding it together.
No, there's actually 17 separate universes, and you have to immigrate from one to another to another. Think of a spiral. And then there is
Are these parallel universes that basically are exactly the same in every single way, apart from a few little differences, like on that movie The One? Or are they completely different universes altogether with different characteristics?
Completely different. completely different. The first universe begot the second universe, which begot the third and begot the fourth. So the first universe was another double helix strain universe, created a brand new space for a new universal experience. And that universal experience got old enough, it created a space so a second universe can be created, and so on and so forth, until you got to the 17th expression of something that was separate, completely separate of the original spawn. So think of it like a lineage of families.
So let's say, for example, Universe A is Big Bill Rockefeller from early 1800s, and Universe B is David Rockefeller from the year 1960 or something like that. It's kind of like a family strain all the way down the line, and everybody's got like a different incarnation.
On a universal level, no. On the individual time streams here, yes, that would be an accurate description, because we in the universe we're in, we created this unique paradox that affected all 17 universes. So to find an understanding and a way to solve that, the 17 universes agreed to mass immigration between each other, open immigration between the two of them, so that all of the karmic debt that was created from timeline genocide could be resolved. Well, it was a massive traffic nightmare, and this is what the last 54 million years has been about, solving the traffic nightmare with these beings of domination and control, using and abusing it along the way, literally abusing universal laws, time laws, everything.
Well, I think that's kind of what the U.S. government is really specializing in now in its secret projects, don't you think?
Well, I've actually said this many times on air, that the U.S. Space Fleet, which is 2,603 separate vessels, they're actually a pirate raiding force, technological raiding force. And the vast majority of the people on those vessels are programmed patriots thinking they are actually defending Earth, when in fact they are actually pirates. And they have been pirates for a very long time, because those vessels are equivalent with dimensional and social drive time systems. So they can enter the social consciousness of other planetary systems in a time perspective and actually alter very things very slightly in other worlds, and then begin to predict how that world is altered, so that they could ultimately steal a creational technology from them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what SEAL Team 26 does. And SEAL Team 9 is the earthbound MIB force, which is, you know, making sure that nothing's going to be here. And then you got, you know, STS-77, which, you know, no one else is going to know about, because that's what's in the overall time command control, which is under the island of Diego Garcia. 28 million people live in that underwater facility there.
Well, there's a lot of underground facilities. In fact, there's thousands of them apparently, and they're connected by undersea and underland tunnels and things of that nature. I've seen the pictures of their giant drill machines that can get several miles a day and just basically vaporize the dirt in front of them, and they have no waste coming out the other back. It's really really messed up.
The giant tracks that are on the ocean, and you can see these things. They're geometric track shapes. So there's all sorts of stuff underground, underwater. But the base at Diego Garcia, that's what actually is interconnected into our grid system, our planetary etheric energy grid system.
By chance, is it on ley lines?
Oh, absolutely on a ley line. A very, very special ley line at that. Okay. If you just, if anybody
out
there.
I think it was an Eric Clapton song. Ley lines. Got me on my knees.
Lola. Got me on my, exactly.
I'm begging, darling, please lay lines. I'm sorry, keep going.
So Diego Garcia is where Earth Space Command can effectually alter the social time agreement of other planets in this galaxy and any other galaxy. And there are multiple programs that exist inside there that interfunction with CERN, the Large Hadron Collider in France. And that is the actual portal creation system, so that they can create these micro portals to transit DNA bodysuits off planet, because they're getting a vast value of technological information back. They're literally trading DNA, because there are species out there in the universe that have eliminated their sex organs, quite literally, so they have no tree of life. And they need our DNA implanted back into them so that they can start to have children again. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there is a tremendous need for DNA here, which creates zealots off-world that will trade with the system here. You've probably heard people talk about a quarantine field around this planet. This quarantine field has been here for millions of years because of this DNA trade. There have been people who have been taken off this world, and they were bacteriologically infected that killed trillions of beings. And this has happened more than once. And that's why we have a quarantine field around us.
Well, let's leave it right there just for the moment, and we'll go to break. We'll leave a little quarantine field on that, much like you would if Monsanto was growing crops next door. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be right back after the break with my very special guest, Andrew Bartels. And I'm on my way to believe it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's a listener-supported broadcast, so please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate or subscribe today. We're having a wee bit of a problem with the home finances here, so we need another couple of $100 to pay the rent this week. Any assistance would be greatly appreciated. Also, check out our very loving, caring, and various other nice adjectives sponsors, our book sponsors on the homepage, The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton, The Range of Illusion by B. Holmes, and also check out our other regular sponsors as well, The High Tea Cafe, The Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga, and of course, Blue Shield. I got a little Blue Shield thingy plugged in, and one time my mate didn't believe it. That it worked, and he said, unplug it for a week, Vinny, see what happens. The worst week of my life, bro. Headaches, bad energy, like virtual migraines kind of thing. I was really angry, and I was like, whoa, these Blue Shields, they make a freaking difference, bro, because I plugged it back in, and it went away in 30 minutes. My total personality changed, and I felt healthy again. It was really messed up. So go to the homepage and click on that little Blue Shield banner there and get yourself one of those if you can afford it. My very special guest is Andrew Bartels. Now, Andrew, do you have a website by chance?
Yes, you can go to galactichistorian.com. You can also check me out on Facebook and YouTube, Galactic Historian. Got a whole bunch of videos that are up there. And you can also sign up for all the different stuff that I do. I do quite a bit of shows too.
Okay, well, let's have a look then, because we were talking about, number one, we got these, universes, the 17 different universes, 63 different ways of doing experience. We've got all these Akashic records, like the actual tied-in records of planetary bodies, and we've got interdimensional beings that are capable of transforming and moving through these different universes and these different experiences and la 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 la. I would imagine the average person hearing this for the first time would be really, really confused and just switch off right away.
Sometimes that happens, but there are other times that there are people that are looking for that. And that's what I've discovered in radio show after radio show after radio show, that however the information comes out, that they are deciphering part of it, they're understanding something from it. And I've done so much material that a lot of times when people ask me a general question, the material has been said before, but at the same time, you have to explain it to people. It's like you as a host, can you remember a show you did a year ago? Specific show, which, you know, lined out Agenda 21 or did a complete exposé on that. So I'm in a situation where there's so much material out, The best way to begin to understand is to go to the Galactic History shows. There's 20 half-hour episodes, or you can just check out my YouTube page and look for the Galactic History specials, where you get to understand what it is exactly that I do. For people that come to me for sessions, and I have quite a few that what the understanding is who they are in the now and what's affecting them. And many, many, many people in the entertainment industry or in the energy industry learn right away there are other versions of themselves who are quite angry, who would very much like to take over your life. And they can do it. And we see classic examples of this in the entertainment industry all the time, as people look like they've been possessed, because they've been possessed by another version of themselves who wanted to be here now in the time of the Great Awakening. And they learned that they're not in the right place. So they're leapfrogging through dimensional times and trying to take you over. We live in this world, a world of shame, blame, and guilt, in the soup that was purposely created in our culture so that people would tend towards the negative and become callous towards the violence and aggression that's in this world.
Well, can I ask as well, emotionally speaking, has this actually had much of a strain on you? Because I see a lot of psychic healers also very much struggle with their gifts and their insight, because, namely, there ain't too many other people to guide you down a path that's unique.
Oh, exactly. For a really long time, it was difficult because of my age. I grew up in a Greek family, and I started working when I was 6 years old. You know, I worked in a restaurant, a traditional Greek concept. I had a different life, a very different life. So I had coping skills early on that a lot of people wouldn't get. And as I got older, yes, things got very tough, especially when I began looking at some of the darker areas of our world and began entangling with it at the quantum level, trying to understand why it had happened that way. Then I got some very positive friendships and mentors in my life, and I was able to stay protected for a very long time. And there are times that you're not protected simply by the nature of what it is that you're doing. You know exactly what I'm talking about when you're going out a limb and you're bringing something out for the first time, and you know that it's really going to have a deep impact. Okay? So there are those times where it gets very difficult, and the body does show the suffering. But I've also learned how to survive in time. I can perceive time. I can perceive attacks coming through time and at times alter them or step one dimension sideways, and it just hits a shadow reality. And for those out there that are skilled in that energy, they'll know what I'm saying. The same thing like remote viewers. Like, there isn't a show that I don't do that isn't remote viewed by thousands of people in the present. And it's not because they're looking for the information that I'm in. They're looking for specific individual frequencies there, because they're looking for other versions of themselves. And this is where some of the material I've talked about is timeline viewers who are looking for other versions of yourself for both good reasons and bad reasons. We are broadcasting on an unprotected social network. And our networks are created this way. So we all begin to share the dirty energy underwear, whether we like it or not. And that's where sovereign beings stand up and say, no, I can say my truth and don't need to share my energy, but I can share my truth. And my truth is more powerful than my energy.
On top of this, there's a lot of confusion among the super soldier things. And we were talking off air before about super soldiers and how it's kind of like testimony comes in from 1,000 different sources, and there's one source that lines up with all the other 1,000, and each of them do in their own way. Mm-hmm. So what my theory was is that the mind control techniques and things of that nature for which they're trying to conceal galactic history, yada, 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 you know, I'll just take you at your word, if you don't mind. what they do is they split the mind into about 1,000 different parts, so that even if they tell people what they see, they might be telling them 999 incorrect things out of one that's correct, because they've been deliberately confused in order to hide the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've worked on many super soldiers privately, and there was a radio show, Douglas Dietrich. You know Douglas?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I was on his. He invited me to be on his show, and when I called, I was actually late for the show. When I called in, there was another caller on the show, who was a person that was relating to Douglas's story, and he asked me what I thought, and I was in that high frequency mode. I'd already done like 6 hours of live radio interviews that day, and I told Douglas I'd just pop on a show as soon as I finished going to the bathroom, and I began reading this person. I instantly understood he was a psychic soldier. A super soldier and a very powerful psychic at that too, that it was broken into 300 separate personalities. I identified the demons that was in him, talked about his prisoner of war thing, which he was. He has a silver star prisoner of war. He's a 53-year-old person in a 23-year-old man's body. He was actually taken out of his body 2 days before he signed up to the military. His 53-year-old mind was put back in completely blanked, but he still had all of his skill sets. And went through his different time-traveling personalities, which is where they created 300 separate personalities and cloned him so that those clones can stay on other timelines that were going to be destroyed permanently. So it would create what's called a random soul shard from this person, which they could grab with their photonic energy systems and literally capture a piece of their soul shard and then implant it into another fetus in this common timeline that we're all sharing and create another version of this young man who went through the exact same process of becoming a super soldier. It was a way of duplicating the process. You didn't have to beat train each and every one like they were doing in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Well, how exactly can we confirm, though? And that's the other thing. Like when I was interviewing Andrew Bishago and Bernard Mendez, who are in the Project Pegasus program, one thing that they told me is that they found about nearly 9 or 10 other people from the Jump Room programs just after Andy went public, kind of thing. These people started turning up and just going, yeah, I was part of it too. And what they did is they had these long calls, conferences, just kind of like off air, totally private and what have you. And what they were doing is comparing notes. And it's like what I was saying before about, you know, you get, if you tell 10 people 1,000 different stories, they'll all talk together and they'll find out that there's one story that they all remember in exactly the same exclusive detail. And they were telling me about this time when they went to Mars, they think, and they got attacked by some kind of a dinosaur creature or whatever. And it was only upon collating their information that they were starting to accept the possibility that what they had seen wasn't Mars at all, and it was just a simulation.
I've actually talked about Bernie a couple of times. He's been on my show, and I interviewed him a number of times also. And I've had many conversations with all of them privately. And what it comes down to is that was a different reality experiment. That's what Project Pegasus was to show the human power of the DNA that you can invade another reality without actually being in that other reality. And if you're going to be a force of change in a future consciousness that understands reality programming warfare, what better way than introduce 30, 40, or 50 people with very similar stories who can come onto a controlled media network and just watch it spread between the people? One voice isn't enough to get that out, and you know that. It would take dozens of voices to reach to the people that are truthers who don't even know they're truthers yet. So what you can see is a strategical move placed through time, whether they're pawns, knights, bishops, kings, or queens, makes no difference. They're simply a move in this poker game of time. Bluff, no bluff. Are you holding the ace in your sleeve? What, it doesn't matter if you're cheating or not, because at the end, everyone shows their cards. And what is showing their cards is where belief, though the overwhelming power of belief of this world, determines how our reality shifts or doesn't shift. And that's the struggle we have every single day. And when you look at the super soldier spectrum, their struggle is that the edge, the very leading edge, you think of a wing with wind going over it, they're at the leading edge of that perception, that expression that there is truth. And in truth is this word, all-encompassing word, disclosure. What does disclosure truly mean? It means something different to everyone. But there's something to disclosure. It all leads up to what? Whether it's the Vatican bank scandals or JP Morgan or Space Command, it all leads to passports. It all leads to domination and control. It all leads to the Illuminati, which all leads to an off-world DNA trade, which has been the common ancient history we've had in this victorious history we learned.
Now, history is a real funny one because it seems to change the longer it goes on. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah, it does. In fact, our history has been changed because one generation perceives the history one way and the next generation perceives it another way. And that third generation, which is basing its stuff off of books that were based off of propaganda, has a totally different way. And if you're someone that can see time, you would make sure that you had a lifetime so that you could make sure those books were altered properly before there was a press. And then after there was a press, how books change, how one word, literally one word, can change the overall meaning of a phrase that affects millions of people who are going to read it. That's why alternate timelines were needed so that they could adjust things like the Bible or the Torah or any of those other expressions to make sure the final propaganda line, timeline, which is the layer of propaganda is coming out, keeps the belief systems empowered into a suppressed slave society.
Well, how exactly does our so-called suppressed slave society become unrepressed and be free?
Oh, that's a really good question. It comes down to the fact that we have two choices. The civil and cultural world that's been handing us unnatural births, vaccinations, GMO food, or the natural world. How you interact with that natural will be your choice, whether it's going to a drumming ceremony to clear dense energies once a month or living totally free or off the grid but still using your credit cards or whatever your choice is. But it's to begin the separation of the world that offers you vaccinations, GMO, it offers you cancer, it offers you all of those things that are sicknesses that come from living within inside that stressed structure, where you begin to say, I do not have to live in lack. I can manifest money with my creativity. You go back into your heart space and begin to relearn love has no strings attached to it. Back to the original foundational rules that all of our ancestors lived in before the creation of mind control, before the creation of the Templars or any of those other ways of living. Each individual person has a sovereign way of living, and our society will have to adjust and allow new expressions of life. How that comes apart, that's the awakening. That's the wonders of it, whether it's you with a megaphone or me on the radio or someone else like Alfred Lamont Weber or Dr. Dream and Laura Eisenhower or any of those others that are out there telling their truth. They're doing it from the joy of their heart, not because it's making money.
Well, there's the other element. I mean, if I take myself as an example here, if I may be so precocious, I was just thinking about how I'm getting donations from the listeners and I'm surviving more or less via doing the right thing, or at least what I feel is doing the right thing. And every time when I run out of money, I ask for some, whether directly from the listeners or just hope for some, and it always turns up.
Conscious manifestation.
Now, is that my consciousness manifesting it? Because I've always interpreted it as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing on a cosmic level, and there's something that wants me to do what I'm doing and wants me to continue. And it's only when I doubt my cause, it's only when I doubt my abilities that the support stops coming. It's almost like when a salesman's trying to sell you a product and he doesn't really believe in it, he's mm-hmm. not passionate about it, he doesn't really care, and you don't give him your money.
Exactly. Well, how about I rephrase this? It's a social consciousness manifestation. You are being a service to the social consciousness with your radio shows, with your archives, with the comedy that you've done, with the exact, excruciating pain of truth that you brought out that has made other people squirm, whether it's Bilderbergers or any of those other, they squirm at us. But they really ultimately aren't going to act or react to us, because if they do, they make it worse. So the best thing they can do is create trolls or create an industry that produces false information so that we're a needle in a haystack of all this other truthers. And that's the name of the game now. So as long as you remain in service to the social consciousness, that manifestation of money or that manifestation of energy, that manifestation of love will find its way to you, because those people who do listen to you understand your signature frequency and the nature of your soul mission.
Well, here's another element as well. It's kind of like, I don't know the end game, like where am I going to be at the end of this process? And I think that's part of the fun. If you're if you're talking about like, because this is something I was really concerned about people predicting the future and what have you, because I recall when people were predicting 2012 was going to be the end of the world and so on and so forth. Every single time anybody's ever predicted anything in the future, apart from financial predictions because they know the elite and the economy is controlled, they always fall flat on their frickin' ass, or it doesn't happen the way they think it's going to happen.
Or a random earthquake that's been predicted.
See, sometimes that does happen.
A random one comes out of nowhere. They predict it. Okay.
Because of HAARP activity and oil reserves that have been found.
Exactly. They can predict how the ground's going to fracture.
See, those are different because those are technological aspects. I'm talking about kind of like sociological ripple effects, unpredictable effects, that kind of thing.
Like the fruit vendor in Tunisia who changed a whole timeline that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I haven't heard that story.
He changed the world. He did.
Well, who is this fruit vendor?
That's the guy in Tunisia who set himself on fire a few years ago that set off the entire Arab storm.
You mean the one
Egypt,
where...
everything was based off of that one fruit vendor who set himself on fire because they raised the taxes and forced him to have a vending license. And it was all about food riots. The same thing in Egypt was about food riots. The price of olive oil had tripled.
Okay.
That's the whole reason Egypt, everything in the Europe, in the Middle East exploded. Not according to their will.
But of course, he wasn't really around to see it because he was burned to a crisp.
He burned himself to a crisp and died, yes. But he changed it because he got a billion hits that got erased. Well, people watching him immolate himself.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier. I was watching an episode of The Walking Dead the other day, and what these people were doing, these two groups of people who were at war, were talking about how many of their group that they would be willing to sacrifice in order to save the rest of their group. Mm-hmm. And one group says, I'll sacrifice all of them, and the other group says, I'll sacrifice none of them, because that's not my role. I can't do that. And I had a similar thought. I think last year or so, that there's only one form of sacrifice that is really, really more powerful than all others. It's not sacrificing other people's for your cause, it's sacrificing yourself for the cause of others.
And not becoming the martyr at it.
Hopefully,
that's the trickiness of doing it. Yeah, exactly. Not becoming the martyr, not becoming demigodded, not becoming worshipped for good end, but others do it because they know why you did it.
But... where's the oh, can I just say there's a whole bunch of like little timeline fields. I mean, it's like, I don't know, you're looking at a racetrack and you've got all these different lanes in the racetrack, but you don't have to actually stay in that lane, right?
Nope.
And you don't even have a regulated speed. I mean, it's basically like you can totally, if you wanted to, destroy everybody else on the track just by crashing your car into them, sort of thing. And I feel that's the way a lot of people are behaving now. They feel that the only way to win the race is to disable all of their competing cars on it.
Cheat.
Yeah.
To cheat.
Well, yeah. It's the only way to win a rigged game, isn't it?
Absolutely. So are you and I cheating by having our own radio stations? Yes, we are.
Are we?
I think we're cheating. We're cheating at such a sovereign level that they can't stop us because they gave us the tools.
I'd say it's just that we're just playing. We're playing within the rules, but not playing a regular tactic, right? Because
they're playing golf, and we're playing full contact rugby.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I used to be a salesman, so you know, convincing people to buy stuff off me so that I could make money was kind of like what I did for a living. And now I don't need to convince anybody of anything. I'm just providing information. It's up to them. They can make up their own damn mind, and they can also choose whether or not to donate to me. And they always do, right? So it's almost like because I took the manipulation out of the factor and replaced it with honesty and integrity and just basically a willingness to interview anybody about anything, I think people have seen a very, very genuine format of show that really hasn't existed before because it has so much of a, shall we say, a vast subject matter.
And the same with mine. You know, the particular skill set that I have, I mean, I did my own radio show 4 days a week, which was a live reading show. And then I did the Galactic Historian material, which was another 2 days a week. And then I did an interview show with other psychics, which was 1 day a week. So I was doing 8 shows a week for a little more than a year and put out 1,500 hours of archives. I put out a lot of material just like you. And with that, I was able to work with New Earth Nation and begin interviewing the highest end people that, whether it's, you know, Konstantin Karov, a scientist, you know, Tellinger, any of the big guys, which I'd already interviewed from before, but to put it together in a social consciousness format that people can begin putting together the puzzle pieces of all these presenters. So, and that's what you do, is helping people put together the big puzzle. As you put it together, your audience put it together. Some may put it together a few weeks ahead of you or a few weeks after. It doesn't matter. The social consciousness of your individual show is that. It's sharing the truth and allowing the truth to be determined by each individual's and not forcing it down anyone's throat. But they can eat it and digest it at their will or turn it away. The thing is, don't be a snob about it. Simply say, that's not for me right now. That isn't my signature frequency. There may be something for me to learn, but not right now. Like Agenda 21 is such a hard subject for people to stomach, but they forced it down our throats for 2 years. Okay?
That's true. Oh, we're going hardcore with Agenda 21. We actually have one of our second largest cities, I think, Hamilton, indeed, has an Agenda 21 office in their building.
So exactly.
It's getting really hardcore. It's getting everywhere. And the Green Party policy here in New Zealand, its environment policy, actually mentions, yes, it's full-on Agenda 21 implementation. They even come out and say it now.
One of the reasons I've been working with New Earth Nation is Greg Paul and Sasha Stone with the Law and Sovereignty Division there. You know, they're going to be coming out with an incredible volume of information where people can go through their actual sovereignty process and begin to truly learn what your corporate bonds are doing, what your passport and your ID is doing, and how to begin to disentangle from the system and say, no, you cannot do it anymore. Whether you do it on a spiritual level or a physical level, each individual being will disconnect from that system separately in their own experience. I mean, there'll be a common theme, but there'll be no cookie cutter theme. You know, some people have so much spiritual debt, you know, this lifetime, and there are others that have no spiritual debt this lifetime. It'll all be about dealing with the way the laws have intertangled with them this lifetime, whether it's a parking ticket, a murder violation, drug dealing, or tax evasion, you know, which isn't really a jailable offense, but it is. Learning of our history, how it was truly hijacked, what our original history was. So many people don't realize, and, you know, in 1776, you know, we won the revolution here. And when was the first president done? 12 years later. Did you know we had 9 presidents before Washington here in the United States?
No, I didn't.
Yep. And that's where our country was sold out via debt.
Well, who were these 9 guys?
Well, all the guys in the Constitution. The guy that sold it the biggest was Alexander Hamilton. He was the first president.
What was his history? Who was he?
Alexander Hamilton was a Mason. Full up, straight up Mason here
to
take over this place.
All the founding fathers were. That's not very
all of them were. They were here to hijack the Masonic Order from the European Masonic Order because it had begun infighting so much that they wanted to take the most powerful families and make sure
that
they
were fighting
not
against the church and they wanted a Masonic religion country rather than get away from the
it was power. About the DNA here in America. It was about having free access to the DNA here and to be able to trade it off world for valuable technology, for timeline sight, for direct intervention, separate of the European system. It was a straight up power grab. And Lincoln was the first American president that was the head of the Illuminati worldwide. And his assassination is actually what made the Illuminati tens of thousands of eyes instead of maybe 30 or 40 eyes at that point in history.
Could you elaborate on that? Because I'm still a little bit confused.
All right, let's say you have.
Well, let's do that in another segment. We'll just go to break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show at the vinnieeastwoodshow.com. There's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. Eastwood hasn't go ahead. Make my news. We'll be right back.